Part three next week. Not just teasing, of course. Thank you. Thank you for the invite back. I appreciate it. I really do. Even though I sort of manipulated a little bit. And it's all right. Heard an amen. Thank you for that. And thank you for that great song, Washed in the Blood. Peter said that blood is precious, isn't it? Really precious, powerful, and personal. Trust that you have been washed in the blood so we can follow the leader. Couple of, my wife's not here today. She couldn't be here today. She had to take my granddaughter, who stayed at a workplace last night, to work. And sometimes I tease her, you know. You've heard a little bit more than I should.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes I tease about her, you know, and sometimes it makes me look good and her look not as good, but anyhow. But she asked me this week if, you know, in my message, if a leader is more important than a follower. And I said, of course not. You know, a leader is not more important than a follower. He has a more of a distinct, perhaps, responsibility, you know, wherever it is, particularly in a church as a pastor teacher, but he's not more important. In our home, you know, we share leadership responsibilities. And she wants me to lead, don't get me wrong, and I should lead. And that's the structure God put forth. But oftentimes she leads, and I submit to that, and that's important, it really is. We were in college on one occasion, I graduated from Lincoln Bible College, and it was my last year, and it was really intense near the end of the semester. I was in the throes of final exams, and I was looking for a church to pastor. We were trying to have a baby. There was just a lot going on, and I was a little testy, a little edgy. And so we were sniping at each other, my wife and I, and sort of fussing a little bit. So finally we decided just to cool off a little bit and take a drive in beautiful Lancaster County. And as we were driving by this Amish farm, I wanted to get one more dig in at her. You know how that is, you want to get the last word. And there was two mules standing there looking out over the fence. And I said, hey, are they related to you? And she said, yes, through marriage. Touché. A few weeks ago, I said that I read a quote that said this. This election, talking about leadership today, the eyes of a leader, and this election said that whoever is elected into the most powerful position in the free world will determine the fate of the United States and the future of the world. I disagree with that a little bit. Will it determine the United States and the future of the world? Certainly it will, you know, as any, you know, important leadership position is. But I'm not so sure it's going to determine the fate of the United States and the future of the world. The reason why is that we have a greater leader than that, don't we? And it's not Biden, and it's not Trump, for Pete's sake. And you know, it is Jesus Christ. And I don't want to sound spiritual here, but that's true, isn't it? Jesus said, just pick up your cross, deny yourself and what?
Follow me.
Follow the leader. And that's no game, is it? As we used to play when we were younger. You know, follow the leader. And follow the leader because I'm going to take you to a certain destiny and a certain destination. And we're moving towards that. And I mentioned, and you know this, and we've talked about it, you've talked about it, probably a lot of your pastors that were here visiting mentioned that we are living in the end times, are we not? There's no doubt about that. I mean, how much more time do we have? I have no clue. I really don't. But I think I mentioned 2 weeks ago that I finally figured out, and you know this too, I think, when Jesus is going to come back, and that's when he's done building the church. Jesus said, I will build my church in the gates of hell, or any other political party will not prevail against it. So Jesus is in the process of building, is still building his church, isn't he? And he builds it by bringing people into the body, by people that trust in the blood of Jesus and are saved. And you and I have, as leaders, and we're all leaders in some capacity, we all have that responsibility of, you know, following Jesus, following, and helping to build his church. And that's exciting, isn't it? That's an exciting enterprise when you think of that. We have been chosen by the King of the universe, the creator of the world, of everything, to be a participant in building his church. In other words, the bride of Christ or the body of Christ. And that's really significant, isn't it? It really is. Don't underestimate that. Don't underestimate, obviously, yourself. Leadership. I mentioned a great quote, and I think it's the best one I have yet to read or hear, and I've read 1,000 quotes on what leadership is, but John Quincy Adams, and by the way, Michael Smith corrected me this week, John Quincy Adams was not born in Quincy. It was Pondbank, so I just want you to know that. But anyhow, I love Pondbank, I love to use that word. But he said this, John Quincy Adams, the fourth president of the United States, the son of John Adams, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. That's a great quote, isn't it? If your actions inspire others to dream more, do more, learn more, and of course, become more, then you are a leader. In other words, if someone is following you, you're a leader. If nobody's following you, you're not a leader. You're not a leader. So, years ago, I began thinking about leadership in many, many ways. And, you know, and I worked for 15 years at Country Meadows Retirement Home. And the founder of that organization, or great, you know, retirement home, is with a former governor leader, and his son was the CEO and president, and his other son was the COO, and his other daughter, exuded with leadership. And I mentioned thinking this, the governor is more than a governor, and he was a governor of Pennsylvania, he's a leader by name and by action. He is more than a governor, he's a leader. So I started putting together some eyes of a leader that sort of reflected him, but also reflect, you know, all leaders, and particularly church leaders, particularly the leader that you're going to be looking for as a pastor, teacher, who will lead you, won't he? Who will feed you God's word? He better, but don't hire him, for sure. Who will be leading you, showing you, taking you in a certain spiritual direction. And do we have an overhead here? Here we go. The eyes of a leader, I call it 2020 leadership, that we can see that leaders have, you know, they have hindsight. They know what's going on, you know, historically. Leaders have foresight. They can see into the future. And leaders have insight. They know what's going on right now. And the first eye that I mentioned a few weeks ago is the eye of influence. The eye of influence. John Maxwell, who I think took it from Oswald Sanders in his book, Spiritual Leadership Was a Classic, said this. There's one definition of a leader, the best definition of leader, and that's influence. Leaders have influence, do they not? And I mentioned that Jesus Christ influenced billions of people. And guess who else influenced billions of people? Satan. And he's a leader. He is wicked, evil, nefarious, but he is indeed a leader. That's why the second eye is so important. Not only leaders have influence too, but leaders have integrity, second eye. And that's so important. C.S. Lewis says integrity is when you do the right things when people are not looking. It's character. Not he's a character, but they have character. Get some characters running for president, don't we, right now? They got character, but anyhow, we don't want to get off on that. Character, integrity means wholeness. We get the word integer from that in mathematics. Whole numbers, a person that's not fractional, not duplicitous, all those things. So I, integrity. Number three, not only do they have integrity, but leaders are inspirational, are they not? They inspire people. And that's what John Quincy Adams says, if you inspire people to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, then you are indeed a leader, the eye of inspiration. And we need that, don't we? We need people to inspire us. People right here today, Marsha, Dan, Dr. Smith, they inspired me over the years, they have, to become a leader, to hang in there, to work hard, to, and others. You know people who have inspired you. That's such an important eye, it really is. And we definitely live in a world that 2 Timothy 3 tells us is dangerous right now. Paul said, mark this, in the end time, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, there will be dangerous, depressing, discouraging times. And we need to be inspired. You don't watch world news at night and walk away inspired, do you? You really don't. And so that's part of the body of Christ, isn't it? That we come here and worship together. And that your pastor, and I love this, that your pastor takes the inspired word of God, that God inspired through the Holy Spirit, and inspires you. That's good stuff, isn't it? It really is. That's the mark of a leader. So the fourth eye, and that's why I'm back here today, the fourth eye is an interesting word, and it's this. Leaders are intrepid. Leaders are intrepid. And I'm not trying to be intelligent here by giving you a word that maybe you're not familiar with. Intrepid means boldness. It means courageous. Years ago, in fact, I think it was 1993, Dodge Cars, Chrysler Motor Company, came out with a Dodge Intrepid. Maybe some of you had one here, a Dodge Intrepid. I remember seeing that car and I thought, huh, what does that mean? What is a Dodge Intrepid? Now you know, it means courageous, boldness, and guess who was running the company back then? Lee Iacocca. Oh. Believe it or not, isn't it? The one who said, lead, follow, or get out of the way. He's the one who took Ford Motor Company as a vice president to national prominence by helping develop the Mustang, Ford Mustang. So a good leader is indeed intrepid. They need courage, particularly today, do they not? Now I want you to just participate just a little bit with me right now and just yell it out. Think of somebody in the Bible, a leader who was courageous and intrepid. Can you name somebody? Paul was, for sure. Pardon? David took on Goliath. Absolutely. It took a little courage to do that.
Esther.
I wrote that down. Esther. I love Queen Esther. Married, was picked by the Persian king. By the way, just let me, only because Marcia said that, let me just share just a little bit about Queen Esther. Just a wee bit. He handpicked her from thousands of other Persian girls. He had no clue King Xerxes at that time, most powerful nation in the world, that she was even a Jewish girl, but she was. Not only did he pick her, God picked her to save the nation of Israel because there was this wicked guy by the name of Haman that was behind the scenes. She was sort of the Hitler before Hitler, right? And he wanted to just eliminate the whole nation of Israel. And God chose her and took her and put her in that position to stop that. So her uncle Mordecai approached Esther and said, look, this guy's trying to do away, help me with the word here,
exterminate.
You know, there's a suicide, there's the, what's the other side? Genocide, that's the word we're looking for, thank you. Genocide. And Esther had to go before the king and tell him what was going on here, because he didn't know. And I tell you, those guys back then, those kings, were vile. They were wicked. In fact, there was an edict back then. You couldn't even go before the king unless he invited you in. You just couldn't walk in and say, hey, honey, guess what's going on? But she did. And this is what she said. I've got to do what is right. I've got to take the mantle of leadership. And this is what she said. And if I perish, I what? I perish. If I die, I die. That's courageous. That's the kind of leadership we need today, right? So many leaders today, you know what? They're in it for themselves. Selfishness. They're exploiting us. They're doing what they can right on down the line. A godly leader, is indeed intrepid. Now I better find my notes. We'll be here next week. I want you to know that. Right? Or intrepid. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Furnace, fiery furnace, lion's den. David, Goliath, Queen Esther. Just many, many, and many today too. And I'm speaking to the church next week in a little town called Franklintown. And probably one of the United States representatives will be there. His name's Scott Perry. He's been there numerous times when I spoke there. And he's a great, great leader. He's going to probably lose this year. He even told us that. Because of the power machine in that other particular party. He's a good man. Would fit all these eyes. And he will probably lose this year. And even though he's been in, you know, Congress for maybe 8-10 years. These are the kind of men we want in, but these are the kind of men that are being pushed out, and women. It's sort of really sad, isn't it? We need men that are going to stand up, and women, and say the right thing, and do the right thing, and be the right person. Particularly in this world that we live in today, we need leaders that are intrepid. Like that word? Write it down. It's a new word for us, hopefully. Number 5, as we move on. Not only, and this is important, not only leaders, but leaders who have intelligence. But look at my parentheses beside that. We're not talking about academia. We're not talking about taking an SAT test. We're not talking about IQs. I tell people my IQ is 100. You know what that means? It's right in the middle. Go to the left a little bit, I'm an idiot. Go to the right a little bit, I'm a genius. I'm just sort of normal. But we're not talking about that kind of intelligence. We're talking about relational intelligence. Means that a good leader knows how to lead people and knows how to love people. Does that make sense? And you will know this. You know that your new pastor, if he comes, you need to know, not can he handle the word of God, rightly divided, that's important. But will he love you? Love you and lead you. Jesus said, what is the greatest commandment? They asked Jesus in a trick question, and you can't trick someone who's omniscient. What is the greatest commandment at all? He said, simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love yourself. Then love your neighbor, who's probably your enemy. Then love your enemies. Love is indeed, Martin Luther King Jr., like him or not, said love is the only force powerful enough to turn an enemy into a friend. Do we need that today? I saw his son speak the other day, and I saw his granddaughter. I don't think he would concur with what they're saying today, to be honest with you. I really don't. He said, I have a dream. I've been to the mountaintop. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Then he was tragically banished from this country. You know what word we need? You know what I'm saying here? The word that is most fits relational intelligence today for leaders? Not, again, academia, as important as that is. But I'm talking about wisdom. Does that make sense? Biblical wisdom. The ability, the wherewithal, the acumen to just not only know what the Bible says, but know by what it means by what it says, then to lead their people. I want to show you a verse that's so popular to you that you'll say, why are you going there? But then the verse right after that, but you might have forgot about it. I want you to turn, if you would please, quickly to Proverbs chapter 3. You know where I'm going here with this, Proverbs chapter 3. You have this memorized. I know most of you have it memorized. quickly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. So be a person of integrity. Don't have a fractional heart. Don't be half-hearted. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's supernaturally impossible without God's help. And lean not on your own what? Intellect or understanding or wherewithal. Don't do that. You won't make it through. You can't do that. In all your ways, acknowledge who? Him, the greatest leader who ever walked the face of the earth, Jesus Christ. And he will make your paths what? Straight. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. But then Solomon said this, and I love this. It's so important. Look at verse 7. You've got to take 7 with 5 and 6. Do not be what? Wise in your own eyes. Don't be foolish. Don't be stupid. Don't try to do it yourself. You don't have the ability. You don't have the relational intelligence. Here's what you need to do. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Don't miss verse 7 there with 5 and 6. Don't be a smart aleck spiritually or academically or politically. And I get a kick out of both Trump and Biden, as my friend would call him, Biden. They think they're the answer for the country. Are they part of it? Yes. But you and I know God's the answer, don't we? I'm not trying to be overly spiritual here, but we need His wisdom, God's wisdom. We need His insights. We need His truth and grace. Don't be wise in your own eyes, politics. Don't be wise in your own eyes, academia. Don't be wise in your own eyes, you people that... someone said to me a few weeks ago here at South Mountain, your daughter went to a prominent school, and she has become so... granddaughter, she's become so liberal you can't even talk to her. And that's not just her, but it's so sad. They go to these institutions, and they're just, you know... That's why we love Dr. Smith, who teaches the truth and speaks the truth when he teaches in schools. And the rest of your school teachers. So, so important. Anyhow, leaders have relational intelligence. Two things under this real quick. Number one, this would revolutionize the world if we would just do it. You want relational intelligence? This is what Jesus said. Just do the golden rule. That make sense? Do unto others as they would have you what? Can I take that up a notch? Let's go from the golden rule to the platinum rule. Treat others the way God treats you. That would change this whole Black Lives Matter, wouldn't it? Just treat others the way God treats you. And it would revolutionize the world. Just one verse in the Bible, never mind the thousands of others, would be enough. If we just would do that, why don't we? Because we're not wise, Christians and non-Christians. We get selfish, self-centered, too political versus this and that. You know, right on down the line. Golden rule and a great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that would just revolutionize the world. And trust me, America might need a revival. But the church needs a revolution. It really does. And things need to be changed. And will they be? Can they be? We'll see. We'll find out. And leadership is so, so important. So, we have leaders are influential. Leaders have integrity. Leaders are inspirational. Leaders are intrepid. And leaders have relational intelligence. Does that make sense? They're the five. They're the five eyes of a leader. And they're not exclusive by no means. I mean, they're not, that's not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination. Just a nice, I think, a nice little, you know, it's just sort of a schema or a pattern that we can follow in leaders. And maybe you can follow as you hire your next. Now, the last thing is, I want to just share one more point with you, because we need something not just for the leaders, but for the followers, don't we? and you and I, or others. And followers, leaders need to be imitated. Here's my last I. I-M-I-T-H-E. I want you to turn, if you would, please. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you have it up there. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember your, what? Leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and what? Imitate their faith. In other words, follow the leader. Imitate Jesus Christ and imitate who is the chief shepherd and imitate your under shepherds and whoever is a leader. Imitate their faith if their faith is inspired by God's word. If they're good leaders, if they're godly leaders, if they're wise leaders, if they have integrity, not perfection, I didn't say perfection, I said integrity. If they have influence, if they're inspirational, if they have spiritual intelligence, if they're intrepid, then imitate them. They say that imitation is the highest form of what? Flattery. Who doesn't want to be imitated? I do. You do. And you have been. Remember years ago, there was a commercial on, cigarette companies were really hot and heavy on the Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking is hazardous for your health. And they came out with this commercial. It was a dad and a little boy sitting underneath a tree, and the dad went like this, picked up a pack of cigarettes and put one in his mouth and put it down. Then the little boy picked it up. And of course, the visual was there. The little boy's going to imitate his dad. It was very, very powerful. It really was. We want to imitate those that are godly leaders. A couple months ago, I had the privilege of doing my former pastor's funeral. His name was Philip Nyer, Pastor Nyer, and he passed away from prostate cancer. And he had not all of the eyes, but he had some of these eyes. And I used some of them when I did his funeral service. And he said that when he was in college, he had an old beat up car by the name, and he named it Flattery. He said, "Flattery will get you nowhere." Well, yeah, I've had a few cars like that. Flattery is the highest form of what? I mean, imitation is the highest form of flattery. We really want to imitate our leaders and follow their lead. Got a call this week from my brother-in-law, and he said, "Did you see who died?" He's always saying, "Hey, did you see who died?" "No, I didn't see because I didn't get the paper, Gary, and you didn't tell me yet." So, but hey, see who did it. But anyhow, well, Mrs. Veslavic died, and you remember at Gladys Diddy, who was one of my spiritual mentors' funeral. Gladys just was a great, great leader in the church. One of the ladies, one of the young girls, stood up and said this in front of everybody. "I want to imitate, I want to be like Gladys." What a great testimony. Gladys was listening to, as I close up here, Gladys was listening back in the 1960s, early 60s, the late, great M.R.D. Hahn. Remember that name? Way back on the radio, and she said he gave the gospel, probably talked about that blood that you sang about, and she said it dropped her to her knees right there in the kitchen floor, and she became a Christian. And her husband Harry, who is a contemporary soul mother, said to her on one occasion, "I don't like you the way you are." And she said, "Well, you're not going to like me ever again, but I'm never going to change." She said, "I'm a believer in Christ." And he came around. All that to say, on her deathbed, I went to the hospital and I said, "Gladys, are you afraid?" She looked at me and she scolded me. She said, "Afraid of what? Of dying? Of course not. Of this pain? Nah. She was intrepid. She was inspirational. She had tremendous influence. She had wisdom, intellectual, relational intelligence. And she was worthy of imitating. Really, really an amazing lady. This church is a good church, you know that? South Mountain Bible Church. You know, I went here years ago. Until they defrocked. No, I'm just teasing. I did. And Newcastle Bible Church. I love churches with the Bible name in it. But South Mountain Bible Church, over the years, with all their pastors, always preached God's Word. Not perfect pastors, you know, Pastor Dick, and Pastor Kinger, and Pastor Gray, Pastor, you know, right on down the line. And was Pastor Gray your last pastor? Is that his name? Good man. Not perfect, but good man who preached the inspired Word of God. Leaders who what? Help lead you and guide you and direct you. Leaders worthy of following because they followed Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said when he probably wrote Hebrews. Follow, imitate your leaders. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me. One version says, imitate me because I imitate Jesus. Isn't that great? 1 Corinthians 11:1, look it up. The eyes of the leader, the good eyes. In closing, a guy by the name of Bishop Richard said this. Every day I pray this, that I might see God more clearly, that I might love him more dearly, and that I would follow him more nearly. Follow the leader. The leader that have eyes to see where he's going. Bless this time, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for good leaders over the years that have been here at South Mountain Bible Church. We pray for our leadership in America. Will it determine the fate and future of America and the world? Don't know. But we know that your leadership does this. It leads us beside still waters. It leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And as we follow him through life, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And the good shepherd, the good leader, will finally lead me into heaven. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David, a great leader, said about Jesus Christ. That's the leader all of us want to follow. And follow well as he leads us and loves us. We ask these things in Jesus' powerful and personal name. Amen.